tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry, excuse me, of Community Christian Fellowship. Sorry about that there. My name's Terry Tackett, and at this time, it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Terry.
How you doing?
Good evening. I'm doing well. Boys, good. A cooker out there today.
Hey, oh, man.
Today, I went over to a wrecking yard for my grandson to look for a part for him. And, man, I'll tell you what, it was hot. There's no trees in those things. And I spent about an hour. And, yeah, I was cooking when I got back. I was also kind of dirty when I got back, to be honest with you. Hey, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker, and this is the Pastor Spot. Also, I want you to remember we do podcast this. We live cast this every week. And you can watch it by going to the Pastor Spot on Facebook, and you can pull it up. And so please do that. You can do that anytime during the week. Great to be here. I am the pastor of Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, and definitely followers of Jesus Christ primarily. More than anything else, I pray that we do that first. Our phone number there is 740-272. No, that's mine. It's 494-2222 at the church. And call anytime, leave me a message. I promise I will get back with you. It's been a busy week for us. We've been getting some repairs and things done on the church. And Prospect has streets and sidewalks again.
I was getting ready to say, I was looking at your thing. It looked like your sidewalks were done now.
Yeah, they are done. The only the funny thing about it is they have just now the state's come in and started grinding up and doing some other streets. So right when we get done with that, I had to go clear out around way around town today to even get into town. And so it was kind of interesting. But you know what? All those repairs need done. And when we have a really wet spring, we have a shorter summer. And sometimes it just – and then we have, you know, one thing a lot of people don't realize is, you know, we've had a lot of state grants have come to a halt. And that they use for a lot of those projects. So any community that can get them done, be happy they're getting done and just bear with the workers. But anyway, it's great to be here tonight. Terry and I were glad the show started because before the show started, we were both starting to froth at the mouth a little bit talking about some of the stuff going on out there and certainly how ridiculous some of it is and some things that just don't make sense. And you know, one of the big ones, and you know, it hasn't come up much, is the amount of money that people are paying in college tuition and for their students to sit in a dorm room basically under quarantine doing their schoolwork if they're even there. And so many of them aren't back allowed on campus yet. They're not in the classrooms. And
like I say, I love the analogy that was used by the guy. The guy said it's basically, which maybe he took it a little far. I'll get your opinion. I mean, you may think so. He thought it was a glorified jail cell, basically.
Right. Well, I mean,
he said because they come by twice a day, give them food, 5 classes online, and they can't leave the room.
Yeah, so they're in there with 2 bunks. Yeah, I would suppose that would be a glorified jail cell. That would probably be a federal jail cell for some of our elites that go to jail, maybe, huh? But, yeah, I mean, I don't...
And $72,000 a year he's paying for that.
No. My kid's coming home and taking online school.
And that's what his argument was. Can she come home? And the university said no. Because they said if she comes home and decides to take the year off and use a coat, but there's some clause that you can use a COVID year, so she has to reapply. And his argument was, why? It took her forever to get it. Why should she be penalized for...
Mm-hmm. You know,
That's the old adage that you want your cake and eat it too.
Well, you know me. I already question what goes on in our universities today anyway, and whether they're being taught or indoctrinated. And most of the professors in the universities, I question a lot of time they put in. I question how much they get paid, and I question how much they really know so many times. And I see a lot of people. I know people that have gone to community colleges and become extremely successful in their field. I think that if you go to college somewhere, and even if you do an online school, and once you get your foot in a door, you know what? If you're a diamond, you're going to shine. You see what I mean? I mean, people always want to say, well, I went here, or I was, so what? So do thousands of other people that never make it past square one. And what we pay these this astronomical amount of money to say that I went to Berkeley, or to say that I went to Yale, or say that I, you know what, come on. There's plenty of, you can go down the list of unbelievable successful people that never went to any of those schools. And in every field, whether it's in medical or whether it's in legal or anything. Matter of fact, if you, you know, there's a, you can get a book out there, and it rates college campuses. You can order it online. I used to see them in the book rack, like at, I know Bueller's in Delaware used to have one. But what it does, it takes all the schools in Ohio, and it ranks them in the different disciplines, whether it be, you know, liberal arts or, you know, whatever it is, or whatever the courses are taking, whether it's education, whether it's whatever. Mm-hmm. And it rates the schools in that, and you would be really, really surprised to see the rating. I remember one year I was looking at it in Cedarville, which is just a little school over in Cedarville, Ohio, actually where Dwayne's from, Cedarville. It's a little private Christian school, and they ranked third in education in the state of Ohio. Mm. Now, think about that a minute. You know, most people have never even heard of it. But I think that we get caught up in where we're going to go. Like I said, if you're a diamond, you're going to shine. And it has to do with what's in here and what we do and how hard we work and where we take it from there. Education is something that it is important. But I think that a lot of people are learning that a lot of the money they put out for it, they're not sure what they got when they came out the other end. You understand what I mean? I know that so many of the kids that I know from up around here, including my own granddaughter, have gone to OSU Marion for their schooling, and they love it. And if they get everything they get anywhere else, they can drive home and stay at home, and they can go and still have somewhat of a campus experience. They meet friends, they go places. You know, I've heard people. A friend of mine told me a couple years ago that his daughter was leaving there and going to main campus at OSU, and he said she wanted to have the college experience for a year or two of the big campus college. And from what I've seen of that college experience, I would just assume my kids were not there. You know, they can do plenty of drinking and drugs at home. No, I'm sorry, but I mean, you see what goes on campus, and you know, the party. What he's basically saying, you know, hey, I knew that party atmosphere. Every kid deserves to. No, they really don't go through with that. We don't live in the day and age when you and I grew up. We don't. And things were dangerous enough back then. It's really gotten crazy out there, especially for young women and even young boys. Just last week, a young teenager that I know, they was attempted to be abducted in a rural area within 5 miles from right here. A young teenage boy. And they attempted to abduct him. Now, you don't think that we have things to think about? Get your kids home. Don't pay that money. You know, and I tell the schools, too, until you guys actually start teaching in a classroom. I've talked to so many kids that have gone to these campuses, and they get to campus, and you know, they're lucky if they see their professor once a quarter. And what are these people being paid for? They get tenure, and then that's, you know, they just, it's, I think that everyone, we need to hold people more accountable for what they're supposed to be doing. It seems like we almost live in a society today that once you get past a certain point in your field, the less you do, the more you get paid for. And that seems kind of odd to me. I would think that, you know, you would get paid, certainly knowledge is something you get paid for. But I think that you know, you should put in your time. You should, you know, do what you're supposed to. And I don't think we have too many free rides. People talk about people that are on the social system getting a free ride. I think many times some of the working people in executive jobs, they're getting a real free ride. And I think that people just, you know, something we're missing today, Terry, that's really, really a serious thing, is we're missing so much personal accountability. People just aren't accountable. You know, if something pops up, it's your fault, or it's that's fault, or it's this. You know, it's not. People need to take a look at themselves, say, yeah, you know what, I blew it, or yeah, you know, I really haven't been doing my job, and I need to step up and do my job. Everyone wants to worry about what everyone else is doing, and I think that if we worried about what we were doing, we'd stop worrying so much about what other people are doing. You know, it takes me a long time. You know, if you're cleaning your own house and doing it right, I'm actually talking about cleaning now, cleaning your house. If you're cleaning your house and doing it right, you probably don't have time to clean other people's houses. And see, that's my point. It's the same thing in our lives. If we're cleaning house, we don't have time to clean a lot of other people's houses. We don't have time to look in their windows. We don't have time to see what they're up to or worry about what they're doing. I was having a conversation with my daughter yesterday, and my wife, we were talking about something that was really troubling us with someone that we know, really troubling us, and said, you know, instead of talking, you know, we recognize that we're troubled about this. But rather than going on about it, why don't we just stop and really pray for those people or pray for this person? Because obviously there's something wrong or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. You know, if it's not the person, you know, if something's up. And I think if we spend more time praying for people, we'll spend less time fighting with people. And I know that nobody likes to look in the mirror when they're not in the right place. And maybe we need more mirrors in the house. I'm not sure. But society has been tough lately. You know, there's things going on that I don't like to see. I don't think it's going on that no one likes to see. There's things going on that make no sense. Can you find any reason at all, any sense in the world, why any state government or city government would want to defund their police department? Is that crazy or what? We've got thousands of police officers in this country. Thousands of police officers, and you got four or five of them that commit some heinous problem, so you're going to defund the whole thing. Okay, if that's the case, why don't we take, since we have maybe 10 really 20 30 40 really more really bad teachers a year that have relationships with their students, which we see happen constantly. Since we know that, why don't we just defund all the teachers? Well, you wouldn't think about that, would you? You see, that's my whole point. There's agenda behind the agenda. There always is. That's why people want to do it. And no one wants to defund the police. I want to call the police and have them show up at my house, right? And I feel a lot safer with them coming than them not, depending. And put yourself in the position of the police officer. Wow, what do you do when you get there? What do you do when you get called on a bank robbery? What do you do when you get called on an assault? Or when you get called on a domestic situation? Do you sit there and think, wait a minute, I better not take my gun, because if I have to use it, I might get sued? I mean, you've got every cop in the country thinking that. And then in the worst neighborhoods, they're thinking, do I even want to respond to that call? Why don't I just slow down and let it play out before I get there? Because if I shoot somebody, I'm going to be brought up. My family are going to be dragged through the mud. I could even lose my job. You see what I mean? We have a cop afraid to pull their gun. How scary is that? You know who that's most dangerous for? Is the police officer themselves. Because they have to make decisions in a split second. And while you have four or five cops around the country that are doing something despicable, you've got all those thousands of cops that have to make a right decision in a split second. And you know, the ones that I know, the ones that I've met in my life, I mean, they'll stop and talk to kids. They like people. They'll help people. They'll stop and be helpful if you want them to be. And this whole thing that we're seeing going on in the streets, say this anarchy, is ridiculous. And why people aren't, how in the world do certain political figures in our news media keep calling these people peaceful protesters? They're tearing cities down. They're burning stuff. They're burning stores down. They're hurting people. They're hurting elderly people. You know, if I was going to vote, and I look at candidates, okay? If I'm looking at one group of candidates, say that I don't even know their politics, okay? I watched both conventions. I'm still watching one, but I watched the other one. I watch one convention, and I see people trying to talk respectable and speak. And then I watch this convention before, and I think more than, if I heard the word God, it was followed by damn. And the F-bomb was dropped so many times it wasn't funny. Now, those are not people that I want to rally around. Where's the respect? How can our young people be respectable when our people in power are doing this? I mean, yeah, I know. Most of them say things they shouldn't from time to time and have a foul. But constantly dropping the F-bomb and you know, come on, what kind of society are we turning into? It really sickens me. And, you know, the lack of respect, taking God out of your platform, boy, God's really going to appreciate that, isn't he? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would, and you know, another thing they don't like to show, the news media will show the clips of what they want to show. What they don't show is the stuff that went on in the convention in between the ones what they wanted to show. Some of the lewd acts that were on stage that were downright filthy and disgusting. That's not America, Terry. That isn't America. We might be a free country, and we are, but we've never been a country of moral crudeness and nastiness and filth and vulgarity. And we have right now, we're seeing that promoted up like it's something special. And it's pretty disgusting. Do you know most countries that have fallen, one of the main things that brought them down was when they became immoral people, sexually immoral people. And when that became a center of their societies fell. Well, we're on the verge of falling. It just doesn't work. I was talking with a friend the other day. We were talking about the other night about our moms and dads. And we grew up in, our parents were the last generation of parents that you had maybe a 25% moms worked, 75% didn't in our parents' generation. And you had more of the family atmosphere. Divorce rate was very low. Family size was pretty good, usually anywhere from 3 to 6 kids, some 7 or more. And it was more of what we called the traditional family. And unfortunately, our young people today have this vision, have this view of what they've seen of that generation is all the men sitting around in wife beater t-shirts, wrinkle up cans of beer in their hand, yelling for the wife to get them another one. I mean, and that's what they think that went on at that time. And women were so abused and made to be unworthy and dogs and made treated like slaves. And, you know, it is just, we were just talking about this. And in both cases, my wife worked our entire marriage, most of it. She doesn't now. Well, she does. She works more than she ever did. She just doesn't work a full-time
job.
Yeah. And his mom, you know, is working mom. His wife is. Most of our parents are working parents, but we talked about when I was a child, my own mother. Wow, it was different. I remember that she had a schedule every day, and she loved it. You know, she had her grocery day, her shopping day, when she'd want to go. She had friends. She had friends that would come over, and they would have lunch together. They'd have sit around a table and do book studies. They'd do Bible studies. They'd help each other with garden tips. They'd help each other do all kinds of things like that. And my mom would actually, you know, people say, oh, you better have the dinner on when he walks in the door. No, you got to understand, most of them loved doing that because they wanted to please the person that was out there working so they could do what they're doing. And they stayed home, and they didn't have to go sweating someplace 8 hours a day. They got to take care of the home they loved, the children they loved. And yes, they did usually a half hour before dad got home. Mom would go in and get cleaned up. She wanted to look pretty for the man she loved. What is wrong with that? I mean, what is wrong with any of that picture? These were not uneducated women at all. They continually educated themselves their whole life through, if they didn't go to school, a lot of them took correspondence courses. I know my mother did, just because she wanted to get ahead and know, have more knowledge. She did book studies. She did studies with friends. Very knowledgeable. They still, you know, so we've painted this stupid picture. And it really is a stupid picture that people have bought into. It's kind of like that thing about when you talk about the 60s, and immediately everybody, yeah, we know about the 60s, you know, the tie-dye, the everybody was stoned and falling. That wasn't the way it was. I was around. I mean, yeah, you had that group of people. They were a very much a extreme minority. Most people in the 60s were just normal, average people who worked every day. And young people, I remember the style. They had a burr haircut. The guys usually wore white T-shirts with blue jeans and work boots. And that was kind of the style. And if they dressed nice, they wore peg leg pants and black dress shoes. That doesn't sound to me like hippies in tie-dye and smoking dope and stumble around going, hey, man. No, but that's the picture they painted. That's what young people think. And we've got to learn to start thinking and looking for ourselves and really looking at history and quit buying all this garbage that we're being fed and have been fed. Hollywood's fed most of it. And now look at Hollywood. The very Hollywood elites that we trust, they're being exposed right and left for child pornography, for sexual deviants, on and on and on it goes. I mean, come on. Who are we listening to? Who are we getting our information from? Who are we idolizing? Why are we idolizing entertainers in the first place? They are entertainers. That doesn't make them some moral upright icon. It doesn't make them knowledgeable in what they're talking about. It makes them good entertainers. You know what that means? That means they know how to act. So people, they're not themselves. They're acting a character. So why trust them if they're that good at acting in the first place? Huh? I find it interesting. Some of these are the very people that say, oh, man, you can't vote for Ronald Reagan. He was an actor. But yet they're saying, we're an actor. Listen to everything we say. What a contradiction, isn't it? So I just encourage people to look for yourselves, study for yourself, judge for yourself. And one of the best books I ever had was a book that I had in, I think it was clear back by high school. It was called Judge for Yourself, and it gave you directions to go to study the Bible and study different things. Now, you judge for yourself what you think is the truth. And, you know, Scripture will always reveal itself to be as honest as it is. Most people pass judgment on Scripture without ever reading it, and it's usually from what someone else has said. One of the funniest things I ever ran into, not really funny, it was kind of silly. I was in a bank one day, and I was talking to a guy, and I said, hey, I said, why don't you stop in and see us at church someday? He was a local guy. He goes, oh, man, he goes, that's okay. He goes, you know, I got my own view of religion. And he told me what he thought about everything and the Bible and whatnot. It was a line right out of the Da Vinci Code. A Da Vinci Code. A novel, a fictional novel that this guy was made into a movie, and this guy had obviously watched it. I watched, a guy told me one time about his wife had passed, and the whole family's gone now, so I can say this. They wouldn't hear me. But his wife had passed, and he told me, you know, what he told her to do and what was going to happen after she died and what she needed to do. And it was right out of that show with that girl that used to be from that show, something five, what was that, Five of Us? Or anyway, the girl that was the medium that people would come back and she'd help them get on to heaven. It was right out of that. I mean, it might as well have been one of the shows. Right. And I thought, are people crazy? I mean, they believe stuff on TV. They believe stuff in the movies and pass judgment on God's word based on what they saw in a movie. We need to wake up. We've been playing too long. I think that people are smarter than this. They're more talented at this. People aren't recognizing how much they're worth and how much the value that God puts in them and what he made them to be and the success that they can be in this world if they'll just listen to what God says they need to do and who they need to be. And they'll know so much more joy. But there's a great big liar in this world, and it's not Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, it's not Barack Obama, it's not Hillary Clinton. It's Satan, and he's good. And he loves to deceive. He's the great deceiver. And we have a country right now that is being deceived by Satan, because everything they're going after has a dead end to it. There's nothing good to it. Sit there and talk to people, interview someone in jail sometime for a long time in prison, ask them where they got started. How did you get on this road to doing the things you've done? And it all started with a little seed in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? Most people that are in prison for horrible, violent sexual crimes all started with a small piece of pornography, and it grew. And pornography is insatiable. You can't satisfy it, because what it does is it numbs your senses as you continue looking at the same thing. So you got to step it up a notch to get the same sensation as you did before. And then that continues. And before you know it, you know, you're in an area like, wow, how did I get this far down the road? I never would have dreamed when I looked at that first magazine that I was going to be doing this. Look at the money I'm spending online watching this stuff, you know, that's cost me. Wow. Well, that's because you can't satisfy it. And that's the problem with most things that are contrary to what God says. Because Satan's behind him, and you're not going to satisfy it. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It's just like somebody that's controlling, a controlling person that has to control people. They can never get enough of that. It's not that they want to control one person. Now it's two. Now it's three. And it's anything that we dive into like that. You know, someone says, if I could just get that beautiful new home. That's what, 5 years later, it's going on the market because they got to have a better one. You know, trading the car in that you loved so much 3 years earlier that, this will be the last car I ever buy, and you're trading it in because that's the problem with things that don't mean anything, things that aren't right, things that aren't good. You can never satisfy it enough. I can tell you something. I have the Bible. I have Bibles that are 20 and 30 years old. I have several different ones because some of them have different features with them that I like to use. But excuse me. I never say, you know what, this Bible's old. I want one that looks better. No, the words don't change. God's word doesn't change. You know, I love my mom. I have a couple of my mom's Bibles. I might have given one to my granddaughter. But anyway, they're worn out, man. And my mom would buy calfskin Bibles because calfskin took forever to wear out. But her pages were worn out, and they were written all over and highlighted all over, and pieces of tape on ripped pages. She used that thing. Didn't wear out. Those words never wear out. And that's what God teaches, to be happy with what we have. To be settled. You know, when your heart's right and you're in the right place with God, you don't continually need new stuff. You find yourself fixing the old stuff because, you know what, God's provided me this. This is good enough. You know, maybe I need to wax that car. Maybe I need to wash it and clean it. And, you know, there's always a time for new things. We live in such a throwaway society. It amazes me that if you ever have run a clothing pantry, the stuff people bring in, it just your jaw will drop. See, I grew up in a time when my brother's clothes, I'm glad he wasn't as hard on clothes as me, because I got all of his. You know, at least I had his clothes to get. But you know, my clothes, by the time I went through them 3 months, the knees were gone and everything was ripped out. But, you know, that's what we did. We handed down clothes. Everyone used to do that. You were done with one child, you handed it to the next. And by the time I got to the bottom kid, it was pretty faded, especially if you had hard water in your house.
I also think, though, that doing that, I think you tended to appreciate it more. You know, you liked the hand-me-downs, you know, or whatever. But of course, back then, you know what I mean? And
you really did. And I mean, why not? I mean, what was wrong with it? You keep things.
Yeah.
keep my mother, when my mom passed away 9 years ago, we were cleaning the house out, and her cooking pans, pots and pans, she had pots and pans that she bought when her and my father were first married, 60 years earlier. Still using the same paint. They worked. Why would she need another one, right?
Yeah.
And now we just throw stuff away. And, you know, you look at the yard sales around. I mean, unbelievable what people buy and just like, why? Because we're looking to please ourselves through things. And it'll never please. It always leaves that empty spot. Always, always, always. How many times have you bought something because you thought you had to have it and it was just great? And it lost its shine so fast. And we continually do that. I battle with it too. We all do. We have to be careful. But, you know, God offers us, like he said to the woman at the well, he said, drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. And that's what he meant, you know. And he was meaning, you drink from him, you take what he has, and you'll never thirst again. But if you don't, you're going to remain thirsty all the time. You'll never be satisfied in that two-room apartment, that one-room apartment, in that one. Maybe it's all you need. I mean, maybe it's good for now. Maybe you need to live in that and save money for whatever reason. We just have become so affluent. A friend of mine and I were talking. How are we doing on time, buddy? 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Every time I ask you that, every week we got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, about 12. Yeah,
isn't that weird? But anyway, a friend of mine were and. I were talking, and well, never mind. I'm gonna change subjects because there's something I want to get to.
Okay.
But you know, it's we just have to decide that, you know, we're gonna do what matters, what we should do, and then we pass that on to our kids, mm-hmm. and we let them understand that. You know, if we're running a rat race, our kids are gonna run a rat race, and their kids are gonna run a rat race. Kids today need to know that they're loved more than anything else. That they're loved, that they have some security, that mom and dad are going to be there when they get home. You notice I said mom and dad are going to be there when they get home. That God's the most important thing in the family, and doing what's right is what's important. That's what kept me straight. I mean, even when I went astray, I had that example of what was right, and I knew what I should do in my life. And
you figure those values now would be more than ever with, you know, with of course everybody like staying home and being doing more things as a family and stuff.
They really are.
You know?
I think some people are starting to recognize it. I really do. And yeah. I pray that whatever it takes to get people doing more stuff at home, they need to be doing more stuff at home.
Exactly.
I know that I've been running all over Kingdom Come looking for canning jar lids.
You know, you're the second person today that said that.
They're gone.
There was a lady that worked that came today, and she was like, she could not find them. She said to save her soul.
You know where I finally found some? A friend of mine.
Really?
That had them at home. They're gone. I mean,
she said she even went to the, is it Ball? B-A-L? Mm-hmm. I think that.
They're gone.
Yeah, she said that she sent them an email or something. Or
out of stock.
Yeah.
Because so many people grew gardens this year in her canning. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
You know, really, honestly. People are doing things at home. They're working on their yards. They might need to learn some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, hey, look, you know, if they don't decide that they're going to grow up in this country, just watch those antiphorites because it's coming to your village soon.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to stop where they're at. You know, they're being – do these people have jobs? I mean, I'm asking you that question.
Yeah,
they have jobs. They're being paid to do what they're doing. And we know they're being paid to do what they're doing. And but yet the media keeps reporting it as they're doing this out of their heart, and it's a piece of, yeah, baloney. Baloney. I mean, sure, there's some there are. But for the most part, nah. You don't come in on a chartered bus. Don't happen. You know, people need to really open those eyes a little bit. And why is it that if you don't agree with them, they hurt you? I thought that those were the same people that wanted tolerance and peace. But if you don't agree with them, you might get a brick upside your head. You know, you see what I mean? It's smoke and mirrors, folks. We need to understand that. But no, I see dangerous times we're in, but I know where the answer is. The answer lies in Jesus Christ. I know that if you come to Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, you're going to hear that, and you're going to know that, and you're going to see people that live that. I had a lady tell me, it made me feel pretty good. She told me last week, she said, you know what, Pastor? She said, when I walked in the door of this church a few weeks back, she was new. She said, I have never felt such warmth in my life coming into a church. And praise God for that. You know, that's because of the people that are in there. You know, we're all broken people. We're all people that have been fixed, that God fixed us. And he's constantly keeping us repaired. And we're not people, you know, walk around with our nose up in the air saying we're better than everyone else. No, the truth is we completely understand that we're not. You know, we're broken, and we understand that it takes God to make us right. And, you know, the very people that will point a finger at you and say you think you're better than me, obviously they think they're better than a lot of things, or they would submit to God too. You know, they just don't want to give up what they've got. You know, I hope that, you know, hear all the stories about staying on the door of St. Peter, the jokes and whatnot, and, you know, that's not really how that's going to go down anyway. But I would hope that I wouldn't be standing at that door and at that time of judgment, and God says, why didn't you follow me? I say, well, because I liked my porn a little too much. That was more important than you. Think about that. I liked my money too much. I loved myself too much. I loved my things too much. I didn't want to give up my weekend partying. Those are going to seem like pretty lame excuses. You know, the Bible says that in the end, every knee will bow before God. Even if they reject him and don't spend an eternity with him, every knee will bow. And what that means is that when people stand in judgment at the end, they're going to know that he is the Almighty God. And it's going to be, oh no. Or it's going to be a warm meeting, one of the two. It's either going to be embrace, or it's going to be a lot of pain. And, you know, why go through life and hope that that's not what's going to happen and keep doing what you're doing? It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, we all have to come to that place in our lives where we make those decisions, you know. When I made a decision to follow Christ, it wasn't because I was already doing everything good. No, quite frankly, I had a lot of mess on my hands and things that, you know, I knew the only one that was going to make my life right was him. And that's what needed to happen. I would hope that most people know that they were born for a better reason than the life they've lived. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Because I hear that all the time. I hear it from people on their deathbeds sometimes. You know I was here. I'll never forget the first time I heard that. I know that God put me on this earth for a reason. I never slowed down to figure out what it was. And that's one of the worst feelings that I can ever have at the end. But all of us, Terry, have that opportunity to fix it. He says that, you know, anyone that turns to him, he won't cast him out. Knock at the door, he'll open. He says it over and over again. You know, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you can't even imagine. Jeremiah 33:3, that was my rendition of it. But yeah, call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you things you can't even, that'll blow your mind. And that's all we got to do. Quit banking on these politicians. Quit following these nut jobs down the road. You know, I cannot believe some of the people that have emerged in the last few years as people even giving them any form of credibility whatsoever. That are just out there, man. I mean, out there. So immoral. It's unbelievable. Some of the things that they say and want to do. I'm like, how's this happening in America? You know, yeah, I can see this stuff happening in, you know, when your convention looks more like Mardi Gras than a respectful, exciting get-together of patriots, we got a problem in this country. Mardi Gras is not normal. It's never been normal. This country shouldn't be a freak show. Anyway. I guess I've said enough on that subject, but, you know, God loves you, people. Come on. Let's love God and come together and surrender our lives to him. You know, I'm so glad, Terry, that I get to do this on the, you know, with live like this. people can pick it up anytime, and they can scroll back to old ones and catch me lying. No. You know, but if they, you know, that's the nice thing about this too, is they can ask me a question on there, and it gives me a chance to respond, because a lot of people do have a lot of questions today. Sure. And a lot of people don't know a lot about God, and a lot of people don't know much about Christians. They only know what they've been told or heard, or they see so many different churches. Well, what's the difference between this church and that church? I can say this, to you today, that any church that doesn't believe in the authority of Scripture, and that is God's Word, and doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He died on a cross for our sin, and that we need to repent and turn our lives to Him, you need to get out of there, because they're not what the church is supposed to be. You know, Satan's real good at dressing up as sheep's clothing to look good. But if you're not standing with God, if you're not standing in scripturally what it says, what good are you doing anyone? As a matter of fact, you're worse, because you're pulling them away from something with them having the idea that they're going to the right place for help. You see what I mean? That has influenced so many churches today. So many churches in this country. There's a huge movement right now in this country and in the world for a one-world church, and that's scary, because it's a one-world church that has nothing to do with what God says the church is. You know, the church is scripturally the bride of Christ, and to be a Christian means that we follow Christ. We were first called Christians at Antioch, and what it meant was Christ followers, and we need to be Christ followers first, not a denominational name or anything like that. We need to be Christ followers, and if we're not a Christ follower, we're not the church. You might be a religion, you might be a false religion, you might be a weird religion, apostate religion, but you're certainly not a Christian. And those are the people that God opens His arms to. And he's given everyone us that opportunity, Terry. It don't matter if you're black, white, orange, pink, fat, short, skinny, dumb, smart. Doesn't matter. Quick-witted, slow-witted, poor, rich. It just doesn't matter. Healthy, unhealthy, whole or handicapped. It just doesn't matter. God gives all of us the opportunity to come to Him. And then He gives us the joy of that is, when we leave this earth, which it goes by, boom, in the blink of an eye, and we're in heaven, we're whole. We're all whole as everyone else. Our scars are healed, our wounds are healed, our minds are healed for eternity. Wow, who could turn that down? The only people that turn that down are the ones that Satan has convinced that they don't need it, or that they don't believe it, or they want to do something else, or just to keep your mind off of it. See, Satan thinks if he can keep us busy enough, we'll never. If Satan can keep us busy enough, you know, we'll never think about it. You know, take a walk out in a field somewhere, or a walk out along a river, and just think about these things. Ask God, and I'm going to close with this. I want you to ask God, Lord God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. If you're real, I want to see, I want to know it. God, I want to believe in you. Show me the reality of you. And start looking. Because He'll find you. He'll truly find you. And if it doesn't jive with Scripture, you got to read your Bible, folks. And find a good Bible-believing teaching church where someone can help you grow. It's so, so important that you do that. Well, I love you guys. It's great to talk to you. It's been great over these last couple of years talking to everyone. I look forward to doing it as long as the Lord's going to allow me to talk. I'll keep talking and prayerfully saying what He wants me to, and praying for you. So remember, our phone number is 740-494-2222. If you just have a prayer request and that's it.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say...